We are in the midst of a series. We're going through a book called The Emotionally Healthy Church by Peter Scazzaro. And today we would like to talk about living in a state of brokenness and vulnerability, which doesn't sound good necessarily, but it's more like living in the truth about where we really are. When you go to a restaurant for breakfast and you order eggs, they ask you, how do you like your eggs? And if you order a steak, they say, how do you like your steak? So when we come to times of electing politicians, they should ask, how do you like your hypocrisy? Because that's usually really what's going on. Should I pretend to be a nice person? Or would you like me to pretend to be a tough person and whatever it is? How do I get your vote? That's what they're really looking for. When it comes to investing your money, if you have some thought or hope that you would like to have some money to retire on at some point in your life, who are you going to entrust with that money? Is it going to be somebody who's just a nice person? Hi, I'm Fred. I have Fred's bank, and I'd like you to invest your money with me. Is that how you invest your money? Who are you looking for? Somebody, you know, if you open a financial magazine and look at the advertisements, you know, this is so-and-so. He runs this hedge fund, and he's the sharpest-looking, most aggressive-looking person you've ever seen, or woman. You want somebody who's on the money, who's just got it all together. How about when you go to church? What are you looking for at church? Two very famous, very big churches in the Chicagoland area in the last year have undergone some very difficult trials, nearly collapsing because of implications and accusations of corruption and sexual misconduct. So it's kind of hard to know. It's easier just to order eggs and steak. But when it comes to electing somebody, when it comes to investing money, doing things like that in the real world, when it comes to knowing who you trust in a body of Jesus followers, that's a little more complicated. Let me quote from the book here, read from the book. In emotionally healthy churches, people live and lead out of brokenness and vulnerability. Leadership in the kingdom of God is from the bottom up, not a grasping, controlling, or lording over others. It is leading out of pain and failure, questions and struggles. It is a serving that knows how to let go. It is a noticeably different way of life from what is commonly modeled in the world and unfortunately in the church. So it really comes down to, how do you be a real person? How do you be a real person? Well, let's turn in the scripture this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians. It's in the New Testament. It's one of Paul's letters. It's right after the book of Romans. And just turn to the first chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And Paul talks about this. He talks about how backward the kingdom of God is compared to the kingdom of man, the kingdom of this world, the cosmos. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18 and following. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Now please note here that those who are perishing may look like they're really thriving and doing very, very well. But he says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, who may look weak and vulnerable. To those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the intelligent. We live in a world of high IQ fools, according to the Bible. Going on in verse 20, where is the wise one? Where is the Torah scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Foreseeing that in God's wisdom, the world through its wisdom did not know God, God was pleased through the foolishness of the message proclaimed to save those who believe. We live in a very successful culture and society, and yet we're told it is a very worried and unhappy society when polls are taken about how people are doing. They don't feel like they're being successful. And Jesus says, success means something other than what you think it means. So how do we live in brokenness and vulnerability? Well, I would tell you that we're already broken and we're very vulnerable in this world. But how do we live so that people can appreciate the fact that we're a real person? Is it an act we come up with? Do we have the regular guy, humble person act? A lot of people do that. A lot of people in politics do that. How do we do that? Well, he suggests some things in the book, about three things I'll share today. First one is develop a theology of weakness. Human response to being set upon and attacked has been the same since the beginning. We run from things. We run from things. We use things as an excuse. We flee to our work. We go to work and use our work as an excuse to avoid some other things that are really more important, some critical relationships in our life. And sometimes we flee to our children. We use our children as an excuse to avoid other things. We make work an idol, and we can make children an idol, and a whole bunch of other things we can make an idol in our life. At the same time, we are avoiding something else. We are failing at critical relationships and problems in our life. We flee. We also fight. Even in the church, we get angry. We get bitter. We do it in the name of I'm angry, just like Jesus was angry. I'm just a careful guy. That is a high-risk proposition. It's not very often in your life that you're going to have righteous anger. Usually, when I'm angry about something, I've got an element of self-interest in it. And so I need to be very careful about giving myself an excuse to be angry, and certainly not bitter. We can get angry at God because things didn't turn out the way we had hoped. Most often when that happens is that the things we hoped for were expectations that were not God's expectations. And sometimes they're done in the name of the Lord. We want our life to turn out like they do, like lives turn out in Christian movies. And sometimes they just don't. In fact, most times, probably not. Never have a clear ending to some things in our life. We have expectations from all kinds of Christian things that are coming at us over the internet, the television, and the radio, and whatever else we listen to. And we can get upset that we didn't get the things that we hoped for. And maybe come to find out that God wasn't taking us that place at all. He didn't plan our life out the way we have our life planned out. And so we can get angry and we fight. Fleeing, fighting, and finally hiding. We've been doing this since the beginning. What did Adam and Eve do when God came looking for them in the garden? They hid. Hiding is about covering how imperfect we are. Are you imperfect? I can just tell you right now, you are. I don't mean to be judgmental. But based on what I know about me, I guarantee it, we all are. And so sometimes we find ourselves only telling the good parts of the gospel because it puts us at risk from people being angry to hear the rest of the gospel story. So we don't talk about sin and judgment and death and those things that the Bible deals with and the gospel talks about. We only talk about the good parts of our lives. On Facebook, my life is wonderful. And all of our Christmas cards were wonderful. Well, I'm happy that people put nice photos in Christmas cards. But do we live our whole life like a Christmas card? We're perfect. Are we afraid to have other people know what's really going on in our lives? Well, I'm not one to go out and just broadcast every problem I have. It's not my nature. But the truth of it is that God does most of his work in our lives when we're in pain, when we're in a difficult place. And you know why that is? It's because when things are going great, we don't listen. God, what do I need him for? Things are going great. We don't actually say that, those of us who are following him. But we live like that very often. And so God's real work is in those hard joints and corners and places that we have a hard time dealing with in our life. So in the book, he makes a list of some kinds of characteristics between kinds of churches he's seen. He calls one type of church a proud and defensive church and another one broken and vulnerable. Let me just read some characteristic statements. In a proud and defensive mode, we would say, I focus on the positive, strong, successful parts of myself. Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But on the other side of it, I am aware of the weak, needy, and limited parts of who I am. And I freely admit failure. Ah, you know, that's a little easier for people to be around. People look and they want what you've got in your life. But do we have to project that this thing with the Lord has made us perfect and you know, immortal and all that stuff? Well, we are eternal beings, but we're beings in progress as well. A couple of more statements. I'm highly offendable and defensive. Some churches and some followers of Jesus are like that. How about I'm approachable and open to input? I'm listening. I give my opinion a lot, even when I'm not asked. How about I'm slow to speak and quick to listen? That's a more biblical approach. I don't get close to people. Have you been in churches like that? There's walls up. How about I'm open and curious about others? I hope that's what we're working toward and becoming. I have to prove that I am right when I'm wronged. Or how about I can let things go? I'm demanding. How about I assert myself respectfully and kindly? One more. I see people as resources to be used for God. It sounds so spiritual. How about I see people as gifts to be loved and enjoyed? That's where we're headed. Paul struggled. Paul the apostle who wrote this letter. He struggled to find God's balance in his own weakness. Now that you're here in 1 Corinthians, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at verses 8 through 10. Paul had what he calls a thorn in the flesh. He had a physical problem. He said, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Now, this is a man who, in other places in the book of Acts, we are told he healed people. God gave him that power, but he's asking God to heal him. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We ought to get used to being an open book. And I don't mean being an inappropriate blabbermouth who just has a constant stream of thought going out to everyone around them. I'm not saying to say everything that comes into your mind, but let your life be an open book. And that will look differently for different people. Some people, everybody has a different way about them. And that's okay. That's part of God's plan. That's how he reaches into some sectors. There are some kinds of people that just won't talk to me. I'm either scary to them or stupid to them or something. And they need you to talk to them because they know you already or whatever it is. It's a kind of an honesty that God is seeking from his people. A trust in God, that God is working despite me, and he's working with me. He's willing to work with me as wrecked as I am. He doesn't need me, but he wants to work with me anyway. And that's good news, yes? Yeah, so he wants that attitude with us, developing our theology, a theology of our weakness, understanding what it means to be in Christ and letting him show his strength through our broken parts. The second thing is to accept our gift of a handicap. Does God want to heal you of all your brokenness and all your vulnerabilities? Does he want to make you Superman, Superwoman? No, he doesn't. He wants you exactly where you are. He wants you to be a real person, a person who's in process with God and who trusts God enough to hang in there and see what happens, see where he's taking me next. And I don't know what it looks like at the end. But I've been walking with him now for half a century. And I will tell you that I'm a different person than I was then. I've seen a lot of things along the way. And it's only, you just see up to the next corner. Just like walking down a road. You know? But he wants you to trust him enough to go that far. And you'll be happy with what you see at that place. Jacob, renamed Israel in his wrestling match with the angel with God himself, really. And the last thing that God does to him in that wrestling match, he cripples him. He walked with a limp for the rest of his life. There are theologies that would say to you, if you had faith, you could make that limp go away, Jacob. No, that's not what the scripture is saying. It's saying, this man has met with God, and this man thought it worthwhile to struggle with God in his life. And even though he came away limping, he's still going home. He's still going to the promised land. That's what happened to him on the way back in to the promised land. He had to fight his way back in. God made him fight his way back in. You really want this? Do you? He did. Why did he cripple him? Well, he did it to show his own strength. Why did he not heal Paul? Paul told us it's so that God could be seen through my weakness, so that no one would think for a minute, oh, this must be, that's just Paul faking it. Paul's brilliant. He's extremely intelligent. He's extremely well educated. So it must just be his thing. No, Paul says, I want you to know who's really doing this. It's not me. And so that's why he asked us to live in brokenness and vulnerability. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you want to go there, I'll read it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 5. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. I wasn't a flashy show. With me, it's what you see is what you get. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus the Messiah and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. This morning, Barry taught the Sunday school class, and he did some magic tricks for us. They're very cool. And if that's all this is about, is a great show, I could recommend that you get your credit card and go down to Boston, because they have some great entertainment there. Go to New York City. But if you want to see what God is doing in people's lives, look around. Look around the room. There's some pretty amazing people that just like look like regular folks. But they are people that God is changing. They are eternal beings that God is burnishing, crafting, recrafting in his own image, so that your faith would not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. You see, some things are just so good. Some production, some shows are just so great. You would never know if God was there or not, because the power and the intelligence of human beings is so sharp and it's so influences us that we just can't tell the difference. But to speak the truth, even the parts we don't completely understand, to say, I don't get that yet, but I know enough to know this, that God is in my life, that Jesus loves me. This I know. And I know it because the Bible tells me so. I can start there, and I'm willing to change my life because I know that much. even though I'm kind of wrecked otherwise. So how about this? If you are in Christ, if you have the Spirit of God, you have a gift or gifts from Him. Are you going to use those gifts, or are you going to use those perfect people on the internet and the television and the radio? Are you going to let them intimidate you into hiding your gift? I want you to use your gift. I pray that you would use your gift. You know why? Because people need you. The people in your world, the people in my world, need somebody they actually know to see if this stuff is true or not. Everybody knows that you can watch something on TV and it can be a complete fantasy. But when I watch somebody's life, I get a sense about whether this is real stuff or not. That's why we have these lists. This is from off the table, the next steps table out there. And I hope you have one of these. It says, my world on it. The 8 to 15 people God has put in my life. And it's a commitment here. And there's lines to write their names down. The people that are in your orbit, at your work, at your school, wherever you are. You may like them. You may hate them. They may hate you. Whatever. God's got them in your life. It's a commitment. I will name each person. Write their name down. That's a commitment. I will tune into God's work around me. I will pray for each one of these people daily. I want to be part of God's work around me. I will love each of these people. Why? Because they're lovable? No, because God already loves them and He wants me to love them too. And then finally, I will watch for opportunities to invite them, to share with them, to bless their lives. That is why you and I need to use our gifts. Even though, you know, we appreciate brilliant people. You know, we're going to have this marriage seminar. It's a webinar thing. And we're going to have some brilliant people talking to us. A lot of people are going to go hear Franklin Graham share in either Springfield or Providence here this coming week. And that's great, but the statistics bear it out, if I may. 80% plus of people who are Jesus followers are that way because a friend shared and a friend cared about their lives. The TV and all that stuff, 1%, 2%, 3%, whatever, it's not much. It's this truth, Christ in you. Christ in me, working it out. So accept your gift of whatever handicap you have. And I mean by that, why it is that you're not on the professional football field or the baseball field, or why you're not in movies, why you're not this, why you're not that, the same reason I'm not. God put us here. Because there are people here who need us, who need to hear His message through us. Finally, we want to transition our church to a church that's based on its weakness. We want to model strength through weakness. We do all that we can, and we let the deficits we have glorify God. See? We have great musicians, and they play their best music, and it's good music. But they're the musicians who are here. We use the gifts that God has given. We work with what God has given us. And so we want all of our leaders to see and model that. Are we looking for perfect people to be in leadership? Nope. We're generally looking for people that are broken in life in enough of a way that they recognize that the people that are asking and needing help will say, oh, that person gets it. That person understands. That person has had the disappointment of a child who walked away from the Lord. That person has had the disappointment of having to deal with health problems They're a real person. That is what our world, our community, that's how they're able to see God, is through the real you. Let me read one last verse from Paul's Corinthians correspondence in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. I'll just read it here. But we have this treasure that is the very presence of God himself and all his inheritance. We have this treasure in jars of clay. So that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from God and not from ourselves. You see? And that's his plan. That's the way he operates. And so 80% plus of Jesus' followers got that way because somebody they actually knew loved them enough to share their life with them. Your world needs to see you live out this message. So start there. Start writing names down. What do I do? Fill that out. Start praying for those people and watch God open that door up. Get on the tablet back there where Debbie was helping people fill out things. Make a potato salad for the new life celebration we're going to have here in a couple of weeks. It's going to be great. People are going to be baptized. And if you need to be baptized, that is a great way for the world around you to see, I really do believe in Jesus, and I'm willing to get all wet in front of everybody so you'll know. Cook burgers, cook hot dogs, whatever, you know, put your hand to that thing. And that's how the world will see. We're going to get a bounce house this year if the weather's good. That's how much we want little ones to have a good time, or whoever gets in there. Myra got in there one year, so whoever. Live as the real person God has made you to be. God's okay with it. He wants you to be okay with it, being who you are. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you put us here and now in this place and in this time. Help us to be everything you've called us to be right here, right now. For the people around us, the people that actually know us, with the actual life that you have given us. Some of us were born into wealthy, happy families. Some of us were born into poor, happy families. Some of us are born into wealthy families and are very unhappy, and into poor families that are just miserable. Whatever it is, however we've come to this place, Lord, you're waiting for us. You're waiting for us to share our lives with the world waiting around us. Bless us as we go out and do this week. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Pastor Leon, I just wanted, one thing caught me in your talk. Thank you. But one thing caught my attention. You know, we feel like people won't talk to you. It's because they're Swedish. You see, Swedes, they'll shake your hand, they'll smile, they'll eat your donuts, they'll drink all your coffee, and they'll have your back, but they're not going to talk to you. So don't take it personal. And speaking of polls, I'm really glad to have Connie back with us. Now we have three generations of Moshaleskis in this outfit, and that's a good thing. So please stand with us. Celebrate.